Middays with Mannix and Mannix. We're back on your Mannix Monday, and tonight is game three of the NBA Finals. The New York Knicks are coming home up 2-0 against the San Antonio Spurs. Here to talk NBA Finals and, well, maybe a little NBA offseason, too. We are joined by our Celtics and NBA insider, Keith Smith, from Spot Track and the Front Office Show. Keith, happy Game 3 day, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks so much for being here as, well, the center of the basketball universe is... as it should be, I guess, at Madison Square Garden here tonight, but it's with the home team, the New York Knicks, 2 wins away from their first NBA title in 53 years, perhaps. How have the Knicks gotten to this point?
Yeah, I mean, they have just played really good basketball. I know that sounds like I'm oversimplifying it, but that's really the truth of it. They play on both ends. Karl-Anthony Towns' defense on Victor Wembanyama in these first two games has been the best defense I think I've ever seen him play in his career. He's been absolutely terrific on that end, and that's kept them from having to go to other gimmicky defenses and double-teaming, even triple-teaming, and things like that. They've just been able to defend straight up, and then that's allowing everybody else to stay locked in, and these Spurs are having a lot of trouble finding scoring opportunities. And on the other end of the floor, the Knicks haven't been great on offense in this series, but they're getting more than enough done, and then they're getting into the fourth quarter and able to put the ball in Jalen Brunson's hands. And he's the best closer we have in the game right now, and he finishes these games off. That's how you build a 2-0 lead with both games coming on the road. And tonight, it's going to be absolutely bonkers environment in MSG tonight.
Yeah, man. Minnesota is so shook by the Karl-Anthony Towns thing. They're reintroducing their identity. I'm sure you saw that yesterday. No, I love that, though. I actually do like the look they're going with now, a little bit kind of retro style there. But to get back to the Knicks, what you mentioned it, I mean, obviously, and I think oversimplifying, it's kind of the right thing to do right now because I don't know if it has been too complicated what they've been doing, right? I mean, when you watch it, their bigs have been able to shut down Wemby, and Jalen Brunson's been great. What did you make of that game where he got injured and came back and hit some of the big shots? It feels like if the Knicks go on to win this series, Jalen Brunson is really, really growing his legacy here, and it's probably going to go down as one of the greatest Knicks now of all time if he's able to get this thing done.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you go back through just in my lifetime, it's, you know, some of the great Knicks teams, they never got it done in the finals, even the ones that made it. You know, Patrick Ewing fell short, Charles Oakley, John Starks, that whole crew. Then the next time they made it, Ewing was hurt, but they had Larry Johnson, Latrell Sprewell, Marcus Camby, Allen Houston, that group, they couldn't get it done. And then you get into the, Carmelo Anthony era, they couldn't get it done. But here it is, this group that's just really smartly put together. There's nothing that they do that's crazy. They've got, you know, good defensive forwards. They've got Jalen Brunson as their primary on-ball guy. Karl-Anthony Towns, do everything big man. And then Josh Hart is just a bundle of energy and coming off the bench. Well, apparently Landry Shamet's now the best shooter on the planet. You know, not that he wasn't already good, but I don't know the next time he's going to have a bad shooting game. And then you got Mitchell Robinson doing his thing and Deuce McBride. It's just a really smart, well-put-together roster. Mike Brown knows his guys, and they're out there out-executing, you know, every single night, you know, in the playoffs. And against the lesser teams, those are resulting in 20, 30, 40-point blowouts. And against the Spurs, it's enough to get it done.
Yeah, certainly is enough to get it done. And the coaching matchup to me is an interesting one here, too. Mitch Johnson is a great young coach in the NBA, no doubt about that. But he's going up against a seasoned veteran here in Mike Brown. And I'm interested if you feel like the experience here for Brown has shown in these first two games when this is the farthest Mitch Johnson's ever gotten.
Yeah, I think maybe a little. Now, this is kind of the best Mike Brown's done in quite some time.
True.
Too, outside of when he was an assistant coach. But, yeah, but I think, you know, what he's been able to do is there's no panic on his side. It is just, hey, we're going to go out there, we're going to do what we do, and, you know, if it's good enough, it's good enough. If it's not, we'll retool, we'll try to figure it out. And so far through three games. I mean, there's nothing complicated that the Knicks are doing. And then I'll say even earlier in the playoffs, it goes all the way back to the first round when they were down 2-1 to the Hawks in Atlanta. And it looked like, all right, the Knicks are in trouble. They really changed the offense. And they said, you know what, we're going to give it to Karl-Anthony Towns more to facilitate and open possessions. And it'll always come back around to Jalen Brunson, but we're going to get Kat involved early. And that's been huge. And that has carried over each subsequent round. And you can tell in these games here, they're really making the Spurs work to figure out, all right, how do we want to defend this? You know, what do we want to do different? Because it's a lot easier to defend if it's just, all right, Jalen Brunson brings it up, and then he goes into pick and roll. You can kind of set your defenses, set your coverages, set your, you know, counteractions. But when it is, all right, it's going to go to Towns, and they're going to run a bunch of off-ball stuff to free guys up, it gets really hard to defend. So that's been a really good change from Mike Brown.
Yeah, and I'm with you, and I think there was a lot of eyes on that move after Tom Thibodeau left. So to see them at this point, man, I mean, they've definitely at least made that move for right now look like it was the right move. On the other side, though, the Spurs are down 0-2. What was your reaction to Wemby throwing that ball away? I feel like that was a moment when we look back in NBA history that if the Spurs do lose this series, it'll be remembered for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I think those are kind of plays where in the heat of the moment, it's such a scramble. And I think we, you know, it's easy when we're sitting on the couch to be like, oh, no, you could have just done this instead. And I think for him, it was just that wild kind of scramble. And he was trying to make a play, trying to make something happen. And, you know, unfortunately threw it away and it went the other way. And the one thing I know is Wembanyama, much like when he plays four games, you can trust he's going to come back better. And I think we're going to get, you know, it's probably got to be tonight for the Spurs. But I think we're going to get one of those monster-type efforts out of him where it's going to be a little bit of, all right, everybody, jump on my back. I'm going to carry us here, and I'm going to try to get us back in this series.
And if San Antonio is going to win tonight and get back into the series, are they going to need a little bit more help from their bench in this ball game? You know, looking kind of, they didn't produce any three-pointers last time out, etc. Will the Spurs bench, other than Dill, I mean, Harper's been certainly doing his thing, but do they need more contributions from the bench? Because the Knicks have certainly been getting it.
Yeah, you need Keldon Johnson. This guy was the sixth man of the year, and he has disappeared in this series. So they definitely need him to step up and give them some production. The other guys like Luke Kornet is playing well, but he's only playing like 8-10 minutes a game.
Right.
Because they're relying on Wembanyama so much, and they're not wanting to go to that double big look. And then the other players, like you said, Harper's played well. Harrison Barnes, Carter Bryant. I mean, I think Bryant necessarily isn't ready for this yet. Barnes looks like, you know, we're kind of nearing the end of the line for him. So, you know, and then of the starters, they also need De'Aaron Fox needs to be better. Yeah. Devon Castle needs to make some of those jump shots. It feels like as we moved into the finals, his jumper has just kind of gone away. So it's absolutely true. And then before I forget, Devin Vassell as well. This guy's a guy who's been a, you know, high scoring guard in the past. I think the Spurs need to do some things to try to make sure he stays involved. And it's not just, you know, all right, a touch every 4 or 5 trips down the floor. Because when you run too much through Wemby, two things happen. One, the Knicks can lock into it. They can start to problem solve. And then the second is, it really wears him out. He's, you know, exhausted by the time you get to the end game when you need him on the floor. I think they could diversify, get a little bit more from some other guys, so much the better.
Yeah, and with so much negative talk, I mean, I wouldn't say negative talk. Unfortunately, they're just down 0-2, so it's kind of the reality of the Spurs situation that we talked to them about that. But one bright spot, Jeff highlighted it, Dylan Harper. I think he's been just fantastic. What have you made of him, Keith? I feel like just in the role he's had to play, he looks very confident. And when you watch him hit the buckets and stuff, like, you can tell he's really embracing the moment. And I can only imagine after how things went at Rutgers for him, this feels really good to be able to have this kind of success on a stage like this.
Yeah, that Rutgers team for him and Ace Bailey was just so thrown together. It was those two and then a bunch of transfers. And it was like, yeah, this is going to be great. And they never figured it out because that roster was just so thrown together. And it's a good example, even in the college level, of it's not about just grabbing talent. It's about finding talent that fits together. But, yeah, I think what the Spurs have done really with day one with Dylan Harper is hey, don't need to come in here and be the man, right? Like you're going to get your minutes, but they're going to be, you know, coming off the bench. Give us what we can give you. And they've been kind of spoon-feeding him more and more. And I think he's certainly ready and ready for this big moment. So, you know, we're going to see, you know, if he can lift his game even more in support of Wembanyama here as we get deeper into the finals. But, yeah, they're got to be, if you're the Spurs, you'll be looking around and saying, all right, with Wembanyama, Harper, and Castle, we're pretty well set up for the future. And then what's scary is that turns De'Aaron Fox, who's a really good player, into a really nice chunk of tradable salary if they want to go make moves eventually somewhere else down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of bench guys, I do want to ask about one guy from the Knicks who's certainly been getting it done in this postseason from outside, and that's Landry Shamet, who's been, you know, he's bounced around the league. He's been on a lot of different teams over his career, but it always seems like there's one guy in the finals who really shows up and maybe overperforms a little bit what you expect. Is Shamet that guy for the Knicks this year?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Landry Shamet has been a good player for a while now, but it has all really come together for him in a big-time way here with this Knicks team. And this year, what's been so important is he stayed healthy. And in his last few years, he's had a lot of injuries that he's dealt with and has had to miss a lot of time. And I think for a guy whose main skill is rhythm shooting, it really turns into, when you're out that much, it's hard to kind of get locked in that way. And now, this year and throughout, of course, obviously the playoff run, he's been able to just get himself locked in, and he comes out and he knows kind of, hey, my job is to defend as best I can and to make a whole bunch of jump shots. And he comes right out and just starts, you know, doing it right away. And I think he's a really important player and going to become an interesting setup for the summer for him, because he's an unrestricted free agent and the Knicks are somewhat limited in what they can pay him. And it'll be interesting to see how other teams value Shamet in free agency.
Yeah, and another aspect, too, of these Knicks that I want to ask you about that I just think is kind of cool is the Nova Knicks side of this. It feels like, too, Josh Hart's the only dude who can touch Jalen Brunson and not, like, be potentially in some trouble, even though I still think he gets in trouble when he messes around with them the way he does. But they got such a good connection from everything that happened at Villanova. Him, Bridges, obviously a part of that. And what's unique about Josh Hart, Keith, and I'm sure you'll agree, seeing him have, you know, in game one, for instance, 15 rebounds and 3 points, like it's like a Dennis Rodman statistic there with the 15 and three. But what do you make of him? Because it feels like him, Bridges, and Jalen Brunson's connection is also a big piece of this team's success.
Yeah, without a doubt, those guys are so tight. One of my favorite running bits is, you know, Josh Hart has that shooting night where he goes like 10 for 11, and all Jalen Brunson wants to do is break down the one he missed, you know, just because he likes to give him such a hard time. I love it. You know, it's great, and you can tell there's a real, you know, genuine love with those guys. And I think that relationship that they have is carried over to the other guys on the team, and this team is extremely tight and ready to go. And then for Hart himself, yeah, I mean, his ability to impact games when he's not making shots and sometimes not even taking shots, that's huge, because when you've got Brunson and Town and Bridges and Ananobi and Shamet and McBride coming off the bench, like, these guys are scorers. These guys are going to get shots up. And you want to be in a position where you're really, you've got to have somebody who's like, all right, I'm just going to do the dirty work. And Josh Hart, you know, if there's a loose ball, you know, bet on Josh Hart going to come up with it one way or another. He's just, you know, that kind of scrappy, gritty player that every good team has, that kind of guy on the roster. And it's so important for these Knicks as they go forward, you know, that he's able to kind of continue to do his thing, because it is huge on getting them extra possessions, getting that stop that you really, really needed. Josh Hart excels at that.
Well, Keith, let's ask about a little off-court stuff, since there is a little bit of reporting today that one of the teams definitely to watch, I think, in this offseason, the Atlanta Hawks, look like they're making a move to hang on to their head coach Quinn Snyder, as there's reporting that there's going to be a multi-year contract extension between Snyder and the Hawks. Do you think that's a move that makes sense for them, and do you think this sets up anything for this offseason for Atlanta?
Yeah, I think between that and then they extended and really promoted and gave Ansi Salah the top job after last year. He did it all year without kind of having that be his official role. That's just continuity for this team. This Hawks team has gone through a lot over the years of changes in the front office, changes on the coaching staff, and obviously changes on the roster. And this group, they need more size, but now I think they can go about kind of taking care of other things because it's, all right, we've got the GM in place, we've got the coach in place. Those guys can start to form now a shared vision for what they want and go after the kind of players that they want. So absolutely huge for, you know, a young, up-and-coming group there to have that continuity and stability at the top.
Yeah, well, Keith, I'll leave you with this one for me, my friend. Any updates with Giannis on your end? Anything on your front? Any rumbles? I know I haven't heard much or seen anything really too much about him, but I know we are getting closer and closer to the NBA draft, so I figured I'd ask if there's anything that you've heard there in the weeds of rumors for Giannis and maybe a destination for him, or if he's just going to stick it out in Milwaukee.
Yeah, most around the league expect, and when I say most, it's like, you know, 99% expect that he is going to be traded. The big thing we're watching is that going to be before June 23rd when the first round of the draft kicks off? The Bucks ownership kind of gave a self-imposed deadline of, hey, we need to trade this guy by the draft. So what the conversation will be here in the next couple weeks before the draft is, hey, we know you can't extend until October 1st, but we all know what the number is. You know, are you in? And if Giannis waffles or gives any answer other than yes, on October 1st, I will sign that extension. I think it's 100% that the Bucks are going to move him. I think they're like that couple we all know where it's like, man, we love you guys, but you guys are awful together. And yeah, you don't want to be together. It's time to break up and move on, and everybody will be better off in the long run. That feels like where we've gotten to with Milwaukee and Giannis. And then as far as teams go, there's been a lot of buzz around the Miami Heat. They feel like they maybe are in better position this time to get something done. They do have a few more tradable assets in terms of draft picks. They can match salary in a number of different ways. But what's really interesting right now, whether it's Giannis or any other team, teams are kind of refactoring what does having all these draft picks look like going forward? Because with the lottery reform and some of the restrictions that come with having draft picks, it is going to be a little bit interesting to see how different teams value that, how they put it together going forward.
Yeah, very interesting stuff there. Again, Keith Smith from SpotTrack and the Front Office Show is our Celtics and NBA insider. Thanks so much for joining us again. Enjoy Game 3 tonight.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
Again, Keith Smith joining us to talk a little NBA hoops. We will be right back to conclude Hour 2. You've got Middays with Mannix and Mannix.